The Black and Abdallah podcast is brought to you by DuPage Credit Union. It's time to put your money where your values lie. Break free from your big bank. Visit DuPageCU.com/join today. By member's choice, this financial institution is not federally insured.
It's time to immerse yourself in the world of college football. ESPN 1000 has studied hard and has all the answers. This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show, presented by Nissan, with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah. Advanced degrees not required. Understanding the Wildcat? Essential. Chicago's College Tailgate Show.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
And now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome in to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black along with Adam Abdallah. We are presented by Nissan. You can watch this show on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. We are here for the next 2 hours to talk college football with you. We have a fantastic slate of games to look forward to today. A lot of 11 o'clock kicks that we'll keep you up to date with. Tyler Aki will give us scoreboard updates every 30 minutes here on Chicago's College Tailgate. And also, Adam, before we kind of look towards week three of the college football season, I think we have to spend a moment to look back to week two and look at what Oregon did last week, going into the Horseshoe and beating Ohio State, the number three ranked team in the country at the time, 35-28, and really dominating that game from start to finish.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it in the long term of the season, you know, Ohio State, thanks for showing up this year. We'll see you next year. because basically, you know, if you go off of the way the rest of the season can look, Oregon will face UCLA at some point. I was taken to town last week, ladies and gentlemen.
Were you?
Last Saturday,
wow.
I was taken to town by you saying that USC had the best talent in the Pac-12.
I would still stand by that.
That's what I was told.
Well, they should be.
Well, what happened? What happened? So because of that, now Oregon has a way into the college football playoff. A Pac-12 team has a way into the college football playoff. You look at the playoff predictor, which we'll do later on more in depth. But if you look at it right now, Ohio State only has a 23% chance to make the college football playoff. And because of that loss and the weaker Big Ten this season, it's going to be tough for them to make it in over two SEC teams, an undefeated Oklahoma team, an undefeated Oregon team, because we keep going back to that Georgia-Clemson game, right? Georgia beats Clemson. If they lose to Alabama in the SEC championship game, should both teams get there? A big game for Alabama in the Swamp today as they head down to face Florida. So if they can get past Florida, get to the SEC championship game, if Georgia has that one loss against Alabama, Alabama has one loss against Georgia, something like that, you probably keep both teams in, and Oregon is in there as well with Oklahoma. It leaves a one-loss Ohio State team on the outside looking in.
It's funny to me. We have a lot to get to here on the show. Black and Abdallah, Chicago's College Tailgate. It's funny to me. You try and act like something great did not happen this week for any USC fan.
I'm not saying something great didn't happen. I was just, the show stopped. It came to a screeching halt when I said UCLA or that USC isn't that great or
They have more talent than anyone else in the Pac-12.
Well, they do? Is that what you're supposed to say?
You act as if you are unaware at the incompetence of one Clay Helton.
Therefore, I understand that.
Therefore, I think later on during the show, I'm going to need two segments to get all my thoughts out on Clay Helton,
1 o'clock
USC football.
1:13.
I think we're going
to podcast.
We're going to put that in at 12:18. I think we're going to fit that in to 12:20. I think also that's going to bleed over into the 12:35 segment. I've got thoughts, and
I'm going to go watch games in the back.
I'm just telling you, you're not even going to have to crack the mic for those
two
segments.
I'll put my feet up. It's fine.
Yeah, I'll
NBA
just go.
Rankings then, too.
I'll just run right through.
Trade debate.
We will get into it. Who is going to be the next head coach at USC? And you'd say, okay, well, you guys, you're doing a show in the Midwest. But listen, USC is a power in college football. And when USC, Texas, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ohio State, Miami, when they're all good, it's good for college football. Notre Dame. When Notre Dame is good, good for college football. So it's obviously going to be the hottest job in college football. It's going to be a storyline that we're going to hear about on College Game Day each and every week throughout the season. As the 11 o'clock kicks have started, there is a game to keep your eyes on today. Number 8, Cincinnati, on the road at Indiana. Okay, the ties. Here's how it kind of all weaves in. Let's see what Luke Fickle in Cincinnati, the Bearcats, have to offer today on the road against a Big Ten team. Why? They're talked about as a dark horse sleeper to possibly be in the conversation for the college football playoff. Also, their head coach is linked to the athletic director at USC. Mike Bone used to be the athletic director at Cincinnati. He's the one that hired Luke Fickle. So there's a connection there. There's a lot of stuff that's been in the rumor mill and behind the scenes over the course of the last week going into this game for the Bearcats. Let's see if they can perform today on the road against Indiana. There's also a game tonight, a big one in Happy Valley, with a head coach who's linked and rumored to have interest with the USC Fighting Trojans, right? And that's James Franklin at Penn State. So what's going to happen is each week that we do this show until USC hires a coach, we're going to have a story about a different guy. I saw about like 30 minutes ago, Bruce Feldman on Fox reporting that he thinks Matt Campbell is going to be one of the front runners for this job. So all of the big name coaches outside of Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban are pretty much locked in, right? I would imagine Ryan Day not interested. I would imagine Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. He's good. He's not interested.
You don't want
I'm just telling you.
You don't want that.
That's not the point of the conversation. The point is, outside of like those four coaches, that job at SC is going to be linked to all of these other coaches who are on that second tier. The Dan Mullins, the James Franklins, the Matt Campbells. So it's going to be a big conversation in college football. I'm going to need, I think it's going to be two segments that later on in the show that I'm going to have to lay out the full thoughts on Clay Helton, the full thoughts with the University of Southern California and their coaching search.
I thought we just did.
No, we're
keep your eye on Oregon, too, with Mario Cristobal, and he takes the short trek down,
but this is
down
my point. Guys who are successful at big-time programs.
Yeah.
Oregon's a big-time program.
Yeah.
Penn State, big-time program.
Yeah.
They're going to be interested in the Dan Mullen at Florida, big-time program, right? They're going to be interested in this job at SC.
Absolutely. Or, Gus Malzahn. And, you end up with something like that. I mean, there's rumors of Eric Bieniemy's name has been floated as well, NFL guy. So, yeah, there's a lot of names out there. I just remember around this time last week, I was called out. I was pulled out onto the carpet.
Again, I don't think you recall the idea that Clay Helton was the coach and they always underperformed.
I understand
that. Have you not listened to me for the last 7 years?
I have, but you look at the recruiting and what they've done. They have been able to get top talent. That's why every California quarterback is on an SEC team, on a Big Ten team, somewhere else.
Yeah, the 2020 class was terrible for USC, but the 2021 class is back into the top 10. Clay Helton has done an okay job recruiting. So it is a program that's primed and ready to succeed. Let's talk about some of the games here in week 3. The biggest, Florida on the road Alabama on the road in the swamp against Florida. Florida is the 11th ranked team in the country and Alabama number 1, obviously. And when you look at this matchup for Dan Mullen and the Gators, here's the thing that I'm looking at. There is talk about using two quarterbacks throughout this game. They have the Anthony Richardson guy off the bench who's an X factor who can run the football. I think he's averaging like 25 yards per rush season as a quarterback.
Yep.
But then they have the starter, Emory Jones. So is Dan Mullen going to be able to use and mix and match with the two quarterbacks against an Alabama defense? It's going to be banged up a bit, especially at the linebacker position.
Well, Will Anderson's supposed to play today, so they should be, for them, at full strength. They have two other linebackers that are out for the season, so they are thin. Alabama's always thin at linebacker for some reason, it feels like. Every week, every year, the first 2 weeks of the season, a couple linebackers get hurt, and it's like, oh no, what are they going to do? Will Anderson should play. This is what I'm looking at, Chris. The on the road, in the swamp, Florida, afternoon, hot, sweaty. I know Alabama's hot, sweaty, too. But first true road test for Bryce Young in a hostile environment, a sold-out crowd at the swamp. It's always a hard place to play. Nick Saban's, I think Alabama has a 7-game win streak against Florida right now. They could tie their longest win streak against Florida at 8 should Alabama win. Florida's allowing 225 yards through the air this season. So if Bryce Young can put up those kind of numbers, can put up 300 yards, can have a good game, they should be able to walk out of there with a win. Florida also lost a linebacker, Ventrell Miller. He's out. So that's a huge blow to that Florida defense that already isn't as up to strength as they were last season. The whole team isn't as good. You know, Kyle Trask is gone, obviously. You lose a bunch of good wide receivers. But Anthony Richardson is that X factor. He's that type of quarterback that has given Alabama problems and their defense problems in the past. They play fast with him. He's mobile. He can run. He can throw it very well. He's got four touchdowns this year, two on the ground, two through the air. So if they're using more Anthony Richardson than Emory Jones, it's probably going to give Florida a better chance to win this game because they can keep that Alabama defense on their toes, you know, extend drives, really give them that X factor that the other teams that Alabama has faced so far this season haven't had. And also, the stereotypical type of quarterback that has given Nick Saban's teams fits in the past. That's what they have to do. So if Dan Mullen's smart, he'll play a lot of Anthony Richardson. If you see Emory Jones out there, then they're kind of just trying to control the game and just kind of, you know, keep it close. But if you want to keep this team on its toes, you want to give this defense everything it's seen so far this season, the toughest game it's seen so far this season, you put Anthony Richardson out there and you have a chance to win the game.
Alabama at Florida. It's a 2:30 kick on CBS, so it's that 2:30 window, the late CBS game in the afternoon. Can't wait for that game. Also, keep an eye on Dan Mullen. He is 0-10 against Nick Saban as a coach for an SEC program. He was at Mississippi State before. Mm-hmm. Now he's at Florida, losing all nine meetings while he was at Mississippi State. There was that one game that they got pretty close to beating Alabama. It was a very good night game at home for Mississippi State. And then outside of that, the SEC championship game last year, Alabama won by 6 points, high-scoring affair, but Alabama went on to the college football playoff and Florida didn't.
Yeah, and then obviously Alabama wins last season. It's going to be interesting to see what this Florida offense can do against an Alabama defense after losing all of those starters to the NFL last season. You know, like they haven't, they're still trying to, like you said, two quarterbacks. When you have two quarterbacks, how many quarterbacks do you have? You have no quarterbacks. So what are you going to do? How are you going to get Anthony Richardson into a rhythm? How are you going to get Emory Jones into a rhythm? Does this Alabama defense with Will Anderson playing and a newer secondary in the back there really clamp down and make this a close game? And what can Bryce Young do in his first true road start? So I'm hoping that he can play really well and not let the crowd get to him and not have any jitters and just kind of go out there and play his game and control the clock and just walk out of there with the win. I mean, they're a 14.5 point favorite right now. I think it might be down to 14 in some places. That's a lot of points for a Florida team that's this good at home.
Yeah, but it's Bama. And
no,
they
I know.
Score, my man. The last time the defending national champion and the number one team in the country played in Gainesville was Miami in 2002. Remember those Miami teams in the early 2000s? Mm-hmm. They were so good. The Hurricanes were a 2-point underdog in that contest, and they won the football game 41-16. So that game at 2:30, Alabama, Florida. It's going to be a fantastic football game. Can't wait to watch that one. We will preview the whiteout game in Happy Valley. Penn State, Auburn, coming up next.
Chicago's College Tailgate Show, presented by Nissan, with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. ESPN 1000 Chicago College Tailgate Show with Black and Abdallah.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
And now on FM at 100.3 HD2, Chicago's home for sports.
It's Black and Abdallah. It's Chicago's College Tailgate, presented by Nissan here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Talking college football with you tonight. Happy Valley will be rocking. It's a whiteout game for Penn State hosting the Auburn Tigers, the number 22 ranked team in the country. They travel north, and actually, Abdallah, teams from the SEC don't travel up to the north very often. This matchup between the two will be the first time since 2011 that a team that was ranked in the SEC played a regular season game in the home stadium of a Big Ten team. That was Alabama, the number three ranked team in the country. They went to Penn State and they won 27-11 back in 2011. The only other time a ranked SEC team played a Big Ten school at the Big Ten school's home place was Georgia against Michigan in the Big House in 1965. The Bulldogs won that game 15-7. So basically, what is going to take place tonight in Happy Valley between Penn State and Auburn doesn't happen.
Well,
teams from the South don't go to the North and play road games in the North.
It's Auburn's first ever game at a Big Ten school since they formed the SEC.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this never happens. Like you said, it's going to be a whiteout. Always a, quote, tough place to play.
Well, you know why. When they get the whiteout going at Happy Valley, they get the little Zombie Nation rocking. You know that scene on television, you're going to have to be watching at 6:30 on ABC for the main event, because the entrance for Penn State onto the field, yeah, it's one of the best parts of college football right there.
Absolutely. And this is going to be Auburn's biggest test. You know, Auburn's averaging 61 points a game this season, but they've also only played Akron and Alabama State. That's right. Alabama State, not Alabama. Alabama State.
You don't like the Zombie Nation?
I do. I love it. I love it. And I love Penn State tonight because I don't think Auburn's done anything. You know, like when you look at Bo Nix, right? Bo Nix at home has a 63% completion percentage. He averages 7.7 yards per attempt. He has 15 touchdowns and one interception. On the road, Bo Nix is a different person. He has a 55% completion percentage. He averages 5.7 yards per attempt. He has 9 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. So you're telling me, hit the Zombie Nation one more time. Hit the Zombie Nation. You're telling me Bo Nix is going to be able to comprehend this?
No.
You're
in
telling
the whiteout?
Me Bo Nix is going to be able to handle this tonight?
No. No shot.
No way. So that's why I like Penn State. I think their defense is really solid this year. We saw in that rock fight that was Penn State-Wisconsin earlier this year. So to me, Penn State has the better overall team just based on their defense. And I don't like Bo Nix on the road. I don't trust Bo Nix at all, let alone on the road. So you put him in this hostile environment. Fans are back. White out. Zombie Nation. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad.
The whiteout game at Penn State officially began on October the 9th, 2004, when Penn State was not ranked and they faced off against number 9, Purdue. They lost that game 20-13. That was set up with just the student section wearing all white. Then the first time they went all white for the entire stadium was 3 years later in 2007 when they hosted Notre Dame. The Fighting Irish in 2007 came to Happy Valley. And since then, there has been a whiteout game almost every single season, except for last, because there are no fans in the stands for 2020. And there is talks of a whiteout game, a second possible whiteout game this season as well, Penn State. And they have won 3 of 4 in the whiteout games, beating Ohio State in 2016, Michigan, who was ranked in 2017, and then Michigan again, October 19th, 2019, they beat Michigan 28-21 in the whiteout game for Penn State.
You know what that is, Chris? Pageantry.
Oh, yeah. It's why we love college football.
It's pageantry, man.
That's the fun.
What other sports do you get to use the word pageantry and have that and get to yell over Zombie Nation?
Horse racing.
Oh.
Right? Isn't horse racing all about the pageantry?
Yeah, because it only takes like 90, like the race is like 90 seconds.
Yeah, they're like, all right, horses, get in the gates. Get ready to go. Here we go.
That would be a lot cooler. I'd be a lot more into horse racing if that's how they started the race. Yeah. If instead of like, it was that, and they just fired that as the gates opened, and they ran to Zombie Nate. Then I'm in on horse racing. I'm all in on horse racing.
Yeah, outside of the horse racing, what else do you have with pageantry?
Nothing.
Right?
Does cricket have pageantry?
I am interested in this contest. I do think Penn State is the better team. And Sean Clifford, I think, is the better quarterback between the two. He's been there for a minute, and I think he'll have a nice game tonight. But I do want to see James Franklin in the type of performance from the coaching staff with possibly one eye on the West Coast.
Well, I mean, look, you read through it in the whiteout, the history of the whiteout games, winning 3 of 4. he's won big games.
Yeah.
They haven't gotten to a college football playoff, but he's won big games. He's proven that he can recruit there. They have a solid defense. They have a good quarterback. James Franklin has proven he can do it. When we get into the college football, the USC discussion, there's one guy I don't think you should go anywhere near who hasn't won anything, who hasn't won the big game. James Franklin has won there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
Because here's the problem.
When he just hasn't won a national championship.
Here's the problem. When you look at these, coaches, right, and you look at these jobs and you look at these schools, and you're like, hey, well, Penn State hasn't done anything. They haven't won. They haven't gone to the college football playoff. They haven't won a national championship. Yeah, because they're in the same conference as Ohio State. All right, Auburn hasn't done it. Florida hasn't done it. Georgia has gotten there, but they haven't won it. You know why? Because of Alabama. Like, there are reasons why these guys can't get over the hump.
And it's Ohio State in the Big Ten.
Because of Ohio State in the Big Ten. So when you're competing with Ohio State every single year, and there are times when you do beat them, that, to me, is having success. Because you are still trying to fight one of the biggest programs in college football. This a staple program in college football. Same with the SEC and Alabama. And that's how USC should be in the Pac-12.
And that's why all these second-tier guys have interest in the gig, because you would then be on the same level with Ohio State, Oklahoma, Clemson, Alabama.
Exactly.
Theoretically. That's the way the school should be. And that's why a guy who has been successful, who recruits well, who has won big games, but he just yet has win the national championship or to get into the college football playoff, that individual has eyes on possibly something else. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, last year for Penn State, it was a down year. They went 0-5 to start the season. And remember, and part of that had to do with all the turnovers that team had throughout the season. They had a -8 turnover margin last year. So it's a key for them to keep the football and keep possession. And then also Auburn heading into this matchup, they haven't beaten a top 10 team on the road since 2014. The Tigers have lost 9 straight in those games, and the last time they lost to Ole Miss, they were the number 7 team in the country. They lost 35-31. But I'll say this, Brian Harsin, the new head coach at Auburn, finally we are not having the discussion of whether or not Gus Malzahn will be fired at Auburn, because he was losing football games last night late to Louisville. So he's now at UCF. Now they have Brian Harsin, who's with Boise State for 7 years, very successful at Boise after Chris Peterson left the program. So we'll see if Brian Harsin can go on the road, first time ever for Auburn in the Big Ten, and try and pull off a big upset in a tough atmosphere, the whiteout game in Happy Valley.
They should be ready. They should be fully healthy. I mean, you look at their first two games against Akron and Alabama State. Those are basically preseason games. Like, you're getting ready for this Penn State game. You know, you're averaging 61 points in those two games. Like, that's crazy. So to me, they should be ready for this Penn State test. I just think going on the road in this environment with this Penn State defense, really making it uncomfortable for Bo Nix in the pocket, really making him try to run with it, and having to, like, is this a game where Auburn can control the clock on the ground against this Penn State defense? I don't think it is. I think you're going to see a lot more three and outs from Auburn. I think this is a game that Penn State can not easily win, but it's going to be, if they win by 10, I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, we're going to have a scoreboard update with Tyler Aki in just a couple of minutes here on ESPN 1000. But if you want a nod and a shout out to Home Field Apparel, the fact that we're both wearing Home Field shirts today, Tyler's wearing his Syracuse shirt. Today is Big News Saturday, Season 2, and the school that they are releasing today is West Virginia. And West Virginia, 5 minutes into the game against Virginia Tech, is already up 14-0. You want to talk about... nailing it with the t-shirts and nailing it also on the field. West Virginia is the school this week for home field, and they are up 14-0 early in the first.
And that, Chris, last segment when we previewed Florida and Alabama, I didn't mention the home field magic factor because home field put out some baller Florida stuff earlier this season Big News Saturday.
Some of those old school Gators.
Has me a little worried.
Yeah.
Because Big News Saturday, and home field magic tends to travel. It moves around the country throughout the day. So if West Virginia is getting the magic in the 11 o'clock games,
I'm
hoping that Florida doesn't get the afternoon magic.
If you go to home field and buy some apparel, use a promo code ESPN Chicago. You get 15% off your first purchase.
ESPN Chicago.
Dean Downtown, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dean?
Oh my God, I have so much. I'll be brief and concise because I know that this show is all business, but very quickly, Abdallah, I have a lot. Like, I agree with you on the horse with the music. That's great. How dare you yesterday screen my call and yell at me that the tickets are already given away? I find it disturbing that yesterday I call Kaplan and he answers in less than two rings, yet I can't get the great Adam Abdallah at First Midwest Bank to answer my phone call and acknowledge me.
Cap answers the phones during
Cap
the show?
Cap doesn't answer the phones.
When does Cap answer
the
phones?
Show, but I called him yesterday.
Oh, you got an offline conversation.
Oh,
I see. You guys got a little side pocket action.
I see.
You know Downtown Dean moves in mysterious ways, gentlemen. Now, shout out to Chosen One, Tyler Aki. I mean, I saw him at the Mid last night at 3 a.m. rocking out, and then he gets up to executive produce Chauncey's Great Outdoors. I mean, that's burning the midnight oil right there, guys.
Indeed. Oh, man, that's the path that we blazed for him. That's what we used to do. Tyler's just following in our footsteps.
Well, he's a true mensch. I love Tyler Aki, especially since he answers my DMs, unlike some people at the studio, like that windbag, Dan Zetterman, the armchair nutritionist. But I digress. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty, fellas, if you don't mind. Oh, by the way,
yes.
I hear I'm inside his head rent-free. He's mentioning me on the golf course, I'm hearing.
Your name definitely came up on the course when we were playing golf with the Blue Chew guys on Tuesday.
Before I get to my picks, Chris Black and Adam Abdallah, I want to mention is I have picks for you, just like Arkansas. I am the moneyline master of ceremonies. I make my bones with college football, Adam Abdallah. Now, you were mentioning the Penn State and Auburn game, and I told the Chosen One that's my pick of the week. Now, the Southeastern Conference, or as I like to call it, the minor leagues, is where I make my bones, gentlemen. Auburn is going to stroll into there tonight, and I cannot wait to see the looks on their faces of these Penn State fans. That music's going to be phenomenal. Unfortunately for me, I'm going to have a packed restaurant that I have to deal with. And if I even look at a TV, my father's going to kill me. But I'm going to have to sneak and look at my phone. So I hate that I can't watch. But I also want to tell you,
yes.
I don't understand the one-man show. Like, what's up with that the other night?
What do you mean?
Tell Mike Thomas I will work for free. I will fill in for Adam Abdallah. Tell Mike Thomas.
Oh, hold on. Well, that's a shot at me. I can't do
a solo show by himself. I can't
it's
go to Riot Fest.
I can't do a solo show.
I can't go to Riot Fest.
I can't do my best Colin Cowherd impersonation and compare college football teams to airports.
I never said that. I'm just saying it would be an honor.
I thought it was a nice show. I thought I did a fine job.
Didn't Huebner get his start by, like, being in the alcohol business? Like, he was selling, like, liquor stores, and then he just asked to be on a show? Is that true?
I don't believe so.
I think he worked at the store. Well, guess what? It's in the works, my friend. The wheels are turning. What do you think of my picks?
Okay.
Florida State over Wake Forest.
Yeah.
I got Auburn over Penn State. What do you think of the Florida State pick?
I think we have to go to break.
More college football talk is right around the corner. Chicago's College Tailgate Show, presented by Nissan.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Black and Abdallah. Follow them on Twitter at Chris Black and at Adam A. Abdallah.
Now, back to more on Chicago's home for sports.
Here are your hosts, Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
We're presented by Nissan, also SGCSportsInfo.com and Coors Light. It's Chicago's College Tailgate. Every 30 minutes, we get a top 25 scoreboard with Tyler Aki.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Tyler.
Oh, boys, we got a loaded 11 a.m. slate today. We'll start with number 3, Oklahoma. They've got the 7-3 lead on Nebraska right now. Texas A&M already out and cruising there on top, 14-0 over New Mexico. Then you've got a little bit of an upset brewing in Bloomington, where Indiana on top of Cincinnati, the number 8 team in the country, 7-0 right now.
Oh, you think Luke Fickell thinking about something else all week, huh?
Mine might be somewhere else.
All right.
Or he's just not that good.
We talked about the home field advantage a little bit. West Virginia up 14-7 right now on number 15, Virginia Tech. We've got a tie game in Buffalo where the Bulls and Coastal Carolina, the number 16 team in the country, are tied at 7 apiece. And then Miami and Michigan State scoreless, about 2 minutes left to go there in the first quarter. And Michigan out to the 14-3 lead on Northern Illinois.
Thank you, Tyler. That's a top 25 scoreboard. Chicago's College Tailgate here with you on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. So we'll get you scores every 30 minutes here on ESPN 1000 as all the 11 o'clock kickoffs in college football taking place around the country. I want to talk to you about this game, Adam. It's the NBC game at 1:30. Purdue on the road at Notre Dame. Notre Dame is the number 12th ranked team in the country. They're 2-0. Purdue comes into this matchup 2-0 as well. Before we get into the game, Have you heard about the controversy throughout the week between the two schools? Have you seen any controversial items going back and forth between the situation for Purdue heading towards Notre Dame?
Yeah, Notre Dame's being mean and not letting Purdue bring their drum in.
Well, I think there was a renovation, and therefore, so this is the situation. So here's the story from ESPN.com. Purdue to feature bands barreled giant drum outside Notre Dame Stadium. You're like, what? Well, Purdue's famous giant brass drum is not, it's too big to get through the visitor's tunnel at the new renovated Notre Dame Stadium. So the world's largest drum, so they claim, will not be allowed to enter the playing field through Notre Dame's home entrance. Purdue's All-American Band will play the halftime performance without the drum for the first time since 1979. And so they are still bringing the drum. Purdue is still taking the drum from West Lafayette to South Bend, and they are going to keep the drum outside of Notre Dame Stadium, quote, for fans to enjoy before the game. And the disagreement between the two schools is a result of Notre Dame's renovation of the stadium in 2017, which added a visitor's tunnel for opposing teams and marching bands. Before then, both teams would come through one tunnel, one giant tunnel, and it was not an issue because the tunnel was big enough for this giant brass drum to wheel on through. But now the smaller visitor's tunnel is not big enough for said drum to get through the stadium, and Notre Dame will not allow the drum to come in through their entrance, the home entrance. So the world's largest drum, which is too big to enter the stadium, will be on the outside of the stadium today at Notre Dame Stadium in South Bend. No giant drum in the stadium. First time for Purdue's band to play without it since 1979.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Because here's the thing. So... What about the home tunnel? Can it fit through the home tunnel?
Yeah, but they're not going to let them go through the home tunnel.
Why not?
Because it's the home tunnel.
You scared?
It's a big drum.
You scared?
Well, I'm just letting you know. It's a huge drum.
Are they scared? Are they scared of the drum?
It's a big drum.
Are they scared of Purdue? You're Notre Dame. I get it. You barely beat Toledo. What are you, scared of a little drum? Scared of a little drum?
I'm just telling you.
What happened to your leprechaun?
It's a very big drum. They got the leprechaun. He's running about.
My tunnel's too small for the leprechaun.
He's doing little kicks.
Too small for the leprechaun.
What? At Purdue's home stadium?
Anywhere. Wherever they go. I'm sorry. Tunnel's too small. I mean, what are you doing?
The Notre Dame officials have told ESPN that they have supplied more than 400 tickets for Purdue's marching band, which is more than double than what it provided for Toledo's band last week. The Boilermakers last played in South Bend in 2012. The world's largest drum, which was first built in 1921, is celebrating its 100th birthday this year. And the last time the band was without the drum was 1979 because it went missing from a storage unit the night before Purdue played Northwestern.
It was
later found behind an air conditioner in an area accessible only by a ladder, which led to speculation that someone stole the big drum and moved it.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. The big drum that was built 100 years ago is not allowed It's 500 pounds, too. Is not allowed in.
It's a heavy tone.
To Notre Dame Stadium.
Because they're scared.
The big drum.
They're scared.
I think Notre Dame wins a football game.
I don't know. Notre Dame kind of has just been hanging, letting teams hang around, and Purdue's better than Toledo. And if you let Purdue hang around, you could be walking out of your home stadium with a loss, and Purdue could be walking right up to that drum. Because don't think those...
Well, they're going to have to walk outside.
That's what I'm saying. Those players, don't even go to the locker room if you beat Notre Dame.
Just go outside.
Just go right out to the parking lot that drum. Go right out to the parking lot with the drum. Man, you want to talk about pageantry. That's pageantry.
Having a big drum.
Aren't we all friends here? Why do they hate each other? Why does let the drum in. Because here's what's going to happen. There's going to come a time when Notre Dame wants to go to Purdue. And they're just going to say, sorry, you guys, we can't fit you guys in here.
But isn't Purdue Stadium open-ended at different parts?
Yeah.
They won't have that same issue.
Well, we'll make it an issue.
The reason it's a problem is because Notre Dame Stadium has an iconic seating bowl. Goes around the entire field.
Cool.
You've been there. It's fantastic. It's one of the best stadiums to sit in all of college football.
Yeah, it's fun. It'd be nice if they could let a drum in.
Oh, it's a big drum, and it's going to be out in the parking lot. You know, sometimes getting out in the parking lot a little early, having a second tailgate, it's kind of fun.
I would love it if Purdue's winning that game and it's just a silent stadium because Notre Dame's fans are all sad.
Boom, and you hear it in the parking lot. I will say this for Brian Kelly's teams. It seems like more than not, even when they have the talent, they let teams hang around way too often in games, especially teams that have no business being in football games.
Oh yeah, they won that overtime game against Florida State opening weekend, and then they've won against Toledo 32-29. So they've won two games by a total of 6 points. You look at what Purdue has done; they've won their first two games of the season as well, beating Oregon State 30-21, and then UConn 49-0. So this is a team in Purdue that's averaging 40 points a game. Notre Dame's only averaging 37 points a game. Purdue's defense against Oregon State and UConn only allowing an average of 10.5 points per game. They shut out UConn. They allowed 21 to Oregon State. I think this Purdue team can definitely hang around. This 7.5 number is a little too big for me to select Notre Dame. I'd sprinkle a little money line on Purdue as well.
I'm with you. I think the outright win, I'm not totally with you on, but the points in the Boilermakers, that's where I would play it.
This isn't a Notre Dame defense that we're used to being strong. They're allowing 194 rushing yards per game. They're allowing 200 yards through the air. This is a team that is susceptible to the type of game that Purdue plays.
And we were talking about it. There is definitely an upset brewing for the home team, the Hoosiers, the other team playing in the state of Indiana today, because they are driving. They are deep in Cincinnati's end, and they are about to put it in for another touchdown. They're up 7-0 early in this contest, and they're fired up.
Wow.
At IU. Bluck and Abdallah with you here on ESPN 1000. We have the playoff predictor next.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Black and Abdallah, presented by Nissan.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 Chicago College Tailgate Show with Chris Black and Adam Abdallah.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Chicago's College Tailgate.
The playoff predictor. Sure, it's a guess, but it's as educated of a guess as there can be.
Because when it comes to deciding the four teams in the playoff, everything matters.
In a game of hypotheticals.
Who's in?
The playoff predictor on ESPN.com. It's pretty cool. They list off the 15 teams that have at least a 3% chance of making the college football playoff. And Adam, in week two, after week two, heading into week three, number one in the playoff predictor, Alabama, 75% chance to make the college football playoff. OU, Oklahoma, number two, at 70% to make the college football playoff. Georgia is the third team at 2-0 at 68%. And the fourth team, we have a change in the playoff predictor this week because Oregon went to Ohio State and played a fantastic football game. So shout out to Mario Cristobal and that defense really shutting down the Buckeyes' offense throughout that contest. They have a 42% chance to make the college football playoff. The teams on the outside looking in. Number five, Clemson at a 40% chance sitting at 1-1. Ohio State at number six, still with an opportunity with a 23% chance sitting at number six is Ohio State. Number seven, Florida. Number eight, Penn State. Number nine, Texas A&M. And Iowa is number 10. And that's the college football playoff predictor on ESPN.com.
If you look at Oregon right now with that 42% chance and look at Clemson with the 40% chance, those are the two that the committee is probably going to have to consider. Now, we always say that, and then things work themselves out. That's the beauty of college football. So if you look at Oregon, their toughest test is going to be October 23rd against UCLA. They have to travel to UCLA. But before then, I mean, you've got Stony Brook today, Arizona, Stanford, Cal, Colorado, Washington, Washington State, Utah, Oregon State. They can get through that schedule pretty easily, except for that UCLA game. So if they can beat UCLA on the road, they've got to take it in to the college football playoff. You look at Clemson. Clemson already has the one loss. Now, the rest of their schedule is full of cupcakes. Georgia Tech, North Carolina, Boston College, Syracuse, Pittsburgh, Florida State, Louisville, UConn, Wake Forest, South Carolina. Cupcakes for them. Right? It's Clemson, it's Dabo, DJU. They should be able to get through that schedule pretty easily. It will matter if if Oregon trips up against UCLA, if Oklahoma loses a game, if Alabama or Georgia should lose a game before the SEC championship game. That is what Ohio State and what Clemson are hoping for right now. Because right now, those four, if those four go undefeated except for Alabama and Georgia in the SEC championship game, that's your four right there, it looks like.
If we go 11 through 15, you have Michigan, Notre Dame, Auburn, Cincinnati, and North Carolina. I'd say this, as far as movement with the college football playoff predictor heading into next week, you know, Alabama and Florida play today. Bama's number one, Florida's seven within the playoff predictor. I would imagine Florida's going to lose this game, so then that seven spot will open up. Penn State has a big matchup tonight against Auburn. That's a possible spot where this may open up. But basically, 1 through 6, I would imagine, will be the same because for the most part, Alabama, they should win. But Oklahoma, Georgia, Oregon, those are all games are very winnable today. Mm-hmm. So I would imagine the four in the playoff predictor will stay the same. Clemson, Ohio State should take care of business today. So really what we're looking at is that second half of the top 10 with Florida, Penn State. And then you're also looking at Auburn sitting there they're at 13. And then Cincinnati's playing a tough game right now at 14 in the playoff predictor. And Cincinnati is a team that we've talked about. Their schedule should be good enough that if they go unbeaten, they'll be in the conversation. The problem is they have a tough game today on the road at Indiana. And then they have Notre Dame coming up. So, I mean, like, it's a very tough schedule for a team that's not in the Power Five. So, you know, playoff predictor right now, I would imagine heading into next week, you know, the teams I would look at today, I would have it almost exactly the same. I'd put Georgia over Oklahoma, but Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Oregon, those are the top four teams right now in college football.
And if you look at the rest of Alabama's schedule, so the playoff predictor gives them a 71% chance to beat Florida today. They still have to face Texas A&M. They have a 74% chance of winning that game. And then at Auburn as well, all their three toughest tests are on the road. They have a 76% chance. So this Florida game, according to the playoff predictor and the football power index, is their toughest matchup of the season before the SEC championship game, obviously. But this Florida game will be telling. They have to go on the road. It's a tough road game in the swamp. So if they can win that game, the playoff predictor has them winning out.
We preview Alabama and Florida in 2 minutes.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Black and Abdallah, presented by Nissan.